Okay, good morning everybody, everybody in the Shrine Room, and good morning to everybody online. It's a bit funny actually, because we know you're there, but we can't see you at all. But we know you're there. Hello. And just to make sure that everything that we say can be heard online, all of the speakers are going to come to the podium, because that's where the recording equipment is. So there's going to be a bit of shifting around, but otherwise, you know, they wouldn't be able to hear us, which would be no good. So you might wonder, who's this lineup here? Some of you will recognise it is the current team at Tea Ratanaloka plus Subhadramati. And Damodasan is a part-time member of our team. She hasn't been able to come to the retreat so far because she was a close contact to someone who had COVID. So she's just been a bit careful. Okay. So we want to talk to you this morning about a rumour that you might have heard. You might have heard a rumour about Tea Ratanaloka is going to be sold and they're going to move and all that kind of thing. And we just wanted to be very, very quickly, not dispel the rumour, but confirm it. It is true. We are going to sell our current building and move to bigger premises. We want you all to know that. Okay. So you also know from your contact with mitras and people in the ordination process that the current building at Tea Ratanaloka is too small. That's why we have big waiting lists for all our retreats, and people can get frustrated and say, oh, I can't get on retreat at Tea Ratanaloka, you know, can only go once a year and all that kind of thing. It's frustrating for people. And we're concerned that it might be holding up people's ordination processes. And in addition to that, we haven't got enough space for the size of team that we need either. We need a much bigger team, and we haven't got the accommodation for that. So the reason that we're talking to you about this, we're going to do a big proper launch at the convention in the summer, but we're giving you the heads up because basically we see this as our collective project along with you. Like it or not, you're involved in this project. Because helping women get to the point where they're going for refuge effectively and ready to join the order is our shared project. All of us in the women's wing, but particularly the ordination team and the private preceptors. Absolutely. So we very much see you as part of this project. We need you to be involved, actually. And I hope this isn't a spoiler for something that Kalyachitta might say, but we have been thinking that one of the problems with Tea Ratanaloka is that it's limited. The current premise, the size of the premises, the size of the team means it's limited. We want it to be much bigger. And we asked Vajrasara if she had an idea for a name for the new project, and she said, how about Tea Ratanaloka Unlimited? So this is us telling you about Tea Ratanaloka Unlimited. So we're all going to say bits and pieces connected with that this morning. But first of all, I'm going to hand you on to our wonderful chair, Karen Adee, who is going to introduce us to a video that we're going to be watching, which is going to be in that direction. It's a bit like Wimbledon this morning. You have to see in both directions. We'll be looking in that direction. So have a listen to Karen Adee, then swivel around so you can see the video. And you're going to have it streamed online, don't worry.
So, folks, yep, hello. Hello online as well. Really good to be here with you all. Feels very significant. Feels quite momentous as well, actually. And what I feel like I have to offer today, on behalf of all of us, feels like a bit of treasure, actually. So, a while ago, so this is the first time it's really been seen in its edited version at the minute. So Maitra Devi very kindly, on behalf of the team, interviewed the old team, the pioneering team. So obviously Anjali has passed, so not Anjali, but Dharmadina, Anoma, Samatar. And it feels very important, in a way, as we're thinking of moving forward, to hear the richness and, in a way, to understand the process of... It's been quite a journey to arrive at this point. It's been a bit of time in the making. So we'll get to hear from them. Obviously, it's just highlights, because it's 30 minutes, But you'll be able to hear a longer version of it on the convention. So we're hopefully going to have, we're going to have a stall on the convention and have a bit more of our history coming through. In a way, we stand here, we sit here on the shoulders of just brave, outstanding women. And it's on the basis of what they did, in a way also what they sacrificed, sometimes even a bit their health, that we're here today able to kind of do this, although I'm not encouraging sacrificing of one's health, but anyway. So we're going to hear a bit about how Te Ratanaloka came about, the process, Tremblay's Avenue. I couldn't find a photo for it, but if you have some old photos you'd like to be part of the archive, you could email me. It's all in process. And you'll just hear, sort of like in nutshells, what that was like a little bit, and then finding Te Ratanaloka, and then living there, just again, small little gems. And then, because obviously it's for this event, the team talking a bit about being preceptors and then a bit about Bante. So I think it is just like a bit of a real treasure in... Vajratara in her talk, pulling out the Dakini principle, it's sort of, you can kind of feel that in form. If you just really hear, in a way, what they managed to do and how little they lived on to kind of make it happen, you can kind of hear that. And it's on the basis of a common teacher, shared vision, shared practices. What else I wanted to say was on community days in December, I'd never heard, so I think it's really important to kind of really capture our history, because I hadn't heard, Ratnadharani shared that the old team had little models of the refuge tree and they buried it in the ground. So there's something about Te Ratanaloka at the minute. It's located in the heart of the Brecon Beacons, but there's also something about Te Ratanaloka that's just on another realm, that operates on another realm. So anyway, I'm going to play. I'm not going to say much. I'm going to play the video and then I'll just... So fingers crossed, a big thank you to Patrick, who's going to be streaming it for the people online. So fingers crossed this is going to work. Yeah. Yeah, so... I can see some tender eyes in the room, so I have a sense that, yeah, maybe there's a bit of a shared experience of it being a bit like treasure, you know, very, very precious to, to hear from our founders, from the, founders of Te Ratanaloka. And in the tea break, Pranyagita's going to put some cards so we can thank Maitra Devi for doing it, but also Dharmadina, Anoma and Samatha, and then I'll send them off. So there's extra bits of paper that people can write things on. So I just wanted to say, you know, they looked to set Te Ratanaloka up because there was a problem. You know, a number of years on, we are back in a situation that there's a problem, you know. Actually, that's a wondrous position to be in. You know, not only is it a success, I think, of the project, but actually of centres, of what all of you do with women who then end up coming to Te Ratanaloka. So obviously Te Ratanaloka is just part, you know, it's a very important institution, but on the basis of all of that, there's so many conditions. There's also so many people that haven't had a mention, just to say as well, but hopefully this is just the start of something. So it is a little bit unpolished. It will be more polished. Arijaya has given me a bit of tech backup before convention, so it will be a little bit more polished. And Te Ratanaloka, wherever it is, will always be Te Ratanaloka. And the name of the next phase in this project is Te Ratanaloka Unlimited. But I've just had this sense that actually Te Ratanaloka is somehow waiting for us, and we're just going to find it, hopefully, in not too distant a future. So anyway, thank you very much, and thanks for your support and love.
Thank you, Karenadi. Karenadi edited that video herself. She turns a hand to everything. She's marvellous. And now going to hand over to Kalia Chitter to bring us a bit more up to date.
Thank you, Shanta Vadri. Thank you, Karen Adi. And hello to all of you out there. Hope you enjoyed that. And yeah, it's very moving to hear from our founders. As Karen Adi said, we stand on their shoulders. And I'm going to get tearful now. Everything that we do is a development of what those courageous women did. I pray for your blessings, my Guru Sangharakshita, great and truly excellent spiritual friend. I pray you may cause love, compassion and bodhicitta to arise in my heart. So I want to start this little part of our presentation by talking about the rainbow-coloured cloud, which is very familiar to all of you. And I'm going to take you back to that incredible day in November 2018. Here, Bunty's funeral, where, well, I like to think of it as a rainbow-coloured cloud. I didn't exactly see a rainbow-coloured cloud, but there was something hovering over the burial mound, or just to the side of the burial mound, with on that amazing day where the light was low and there was just this incredible atmosphere. And the light on the poplar tree with the leaves was shimmering. And that rainbow-coloured cloud that I'm thinking about is depicted in Chintamani's painting, which has been hanging here. It's not here now. It's in the Amitabha Shrine Room, just across the way, where Bunty was lying before we buried him. And when it has been hanging here, we now have another of our Loka's paintings, where we prostrate when we are on the Eight Guidelines retreat here at Adhisthana, which is run by the Tiruvannamalai team and quite a lot of you as well, other people. Some of you, I think, here have been on that team. And so there's this sense of all these women, all these people prostrating to this amazing painting with the rainbow-coloured cloud and the Malvern Hills around. So I was thinking about that when I was thinking about what I was going to say this morning, and then thinking about all the times in which we prostrate also to that image, that rainbow-coloured cloud at Tiruvannamalai. So we've now got a copy of that painting, which we put onto the shrine. And on the last retreat, it was the Transcendental Principle 2 retreat, which has a lot of people on it who are quite close to ordination. So it was a fantastic retreat, the last one. There were lots of people who'd been there a lot on retreat with us, and, you know, they were getting quite close to ordination. A lovely atmosphere in the shrine room. And the shrine room was absolutely packed for the prostration practice to such an extent. I don't know whether any of you have been there on those retreats recently, but it's very difficult to prostrate easily. And quite often one's elbows clash with the person next to you. But there's this incredible atmosphere of all doing the prostration practice together and moving towards enlightenment together with these women who want to go for refuge to the Three Jewels. Many of you will remember the blue carpet at Tiruvannamalai, which I think an Omar mentioned in the video. So basically, you're getting the message, aren't you? It's too small. The shrine room is too small. We need something. Well, at least as big as this shrine room, actually. On the 8 Guidelines retreats, we hold them here because we can have loads more people coming. And even on these retreats at Adistana, the whole room is covered in mats with women prostrating to the Tree of Refuge and Respect. And it's just a wonderful atmosphere. And, well, a bit like Karanadi, I'm just thinking about the spirit of Tiratanaloka, actually. Over the years of doing the prostration practice at Tiratanaloka, it does feel sometimes that the Tree of Refuge and Respect, Bante, the rainbow-coloured cloud, is just hovering above us, above Tiratanaloka, like it was on that amazing day in November 2018. And Tiratanaloka is such a special place to practice. I'm sure you all really appreciate and know that from your own experience. And it's because going for refuge is just so much in the air. It's there in the air because the people that are coming on the retreat to train for ordination are intensively going for refuge. It's why they're there. And particularly on that first evening of the introduction of a new retreat, when everybody's crowded into that tiny lounge, we're all kind of snuggled up together in this too small space. You just pick up this intense atmosphere of going for refuge. And it's a real privilege to work and live there because I pick that up from the people that come on retreat. So we pick it up from the people who come on retreat. They pick it up from us. And there's this just, well, as Bhadratara was saying, there's a mutual ignition, igniting of going for refuge. It's living, breathing atmosphere of going for refuge. And, well, it's just such a privilege to be able to take part in that. It's really enormously transformed me as a result of living and working there. And we want to make that atmosphere, that intense concentration of Shraddha and going for refuge, available to loads more people. We just want to make it available to as many people as possible. And that's not just mitras who are training for ordination, that's also order members. That's you as well. We just want it to make it available to loads more people. And that means breaking out of the confines of the building that we're in. You know, Tiratanaloka isn't, in a sense, it isn't a place. It's an atmosphere, it's a spirit. And I think, you know, the building is just the vehicle for that spirit. You could say spirit of bodhicitta, actually. I'm just going to be audacious and say that. Pranigita had this wacky dream. I think it was just before the Transcendental Principle on the Transcendental Principle retreat, where it was during that time when there were all those floods a few weeks ago, and we thought, oh gosh, we're going to get flooded, people aren't going to be able to leave the place, which often happens when it's really raining in Wales. So there's all these flooding kind of warnings around us. And Pranayita had this dream that Anjali was driving down the drive, and then she kind of disappeared into this great pool of water. Her car just sort of dived into this water. And then I went running down the drive after her and dived into the water to try and find her. And then this Land Rover appeared, and it kind of dived into the water as well. And then we were in the building, and this Land Rover came through the roof. And then all of a sudden, loads of Land Rovers all kind of came through the building and the roof, and all the kind of walls fell away. So I just thought, yeah, that's what's going to happen. So Tiruvallur is the vehicle for... it's for intents going for refuge. It's the vehicle for bodhicitta, and we just want to make that available to as many people as possible.
Thank you so much, Kalyachitta. It's lovely that you mentioned Pranagita's dream. Pranagita also had a little COVID scare, didn't you? That was why you were a day late. So that's the reason that Pranagita doesn't have a particular thing that she's going to say this morning, but I think that dream was a significant contribution. Yeah, thank you so much. So you might be wondering why Subhadramati's sitting with us. What's Subhadramati doing away from the LBC, sitting with the Tiruvallur team, as if she's going to say something? Well, I'm going to hand over to her now, and you're going to hear what she has to say.
Thank you. I'd just introduce myself really as part of this project. Just going back to the film, actually, I was at Dhanakosha as a Mitra. Vajragupta was there as well, and maybe some others, when the news came through that we actually had got Tiruvallur. And I remember Anjali was one of the team on that retreat. And I remember her making the announcement. It was just before one of the meditations. And she tried to say it really calmly, that we've got a place. And she just broke down in tears, you know. It was so affecting. She just, like, burst into tears. And she just said, I just can't believe we've got a place. And it stayed with me so strongly. So I actually left the LBC a few months ago and decided to... But what my vision for myself was to go into a sort of homeless life and just go around visiting different Buddhist centres, meeting women and talking about ordination and, you know, leading things and so on. I was quite excited about that. And then I can't remember actually who got in touch with me first, whether it was Shantavadri or Ratnadharani. It sort of merged in my mind and said, look, we really, really want to do this new Tiruvallur project. We really need more people. You know, the team are already running all the retreats and everything, so we really, really need more people to be involved. Would you be involved? And it's funny, isn't it? Sometimes when somebody asks you something, you have to think about it, but I can't remember thinking about it at all before I said yes. The experience was a bit like, of course. Like that, somewhere on a level that I didn't know I'd been waiting for this opportunity to contribute in this way. So I immediately thought, yes, I will. There's nothing I could want more in a way. And just that feeling, you know, that feeling you get that, oh, if we really could do this, and if I could really be part of this project of this Tiruvallur Unlimited, I'd die happy. You know, I'd die happy to know that I'd been part of this. I'm delighted to have been invited to be part of this project. And I must say, it's only grown my delight, especially because of this team. I mean, who wouldn't want to work with these people? It's like amazing. And so that has only grown. The other thing that's really grown is my connection with Anjali, particularly my own preceptor. That's really deepened my connection with Anjali, thinking of being involved in this project. I keep sort of talking to Angela in my mind and saying, guess what, Angela, we're going to get a new place like three times as big. And she's just so excited in my imagination. And it was interesting hearing that little story about the buried refuge trees, because immediately after I had said, I didn't know about that, and immediately after I had said, yes, I do want to be part of this project, I found myself, like, talking about the refuge tree, and I gave a few public talks about the refuge tree. I just couldn't stop talking about the refuge tree, and then discovered about these buried refuge trees. So you're going to be hearing quite a lot more from me in the next few years, because I'm going to be part of the fundraising, or even, big part of the fundraising for the new Tiruvannalokar Unlimited. I love fundraising, actually, and it's such an exciting thing to fundraise for. And I feel very, what shall I say? Like, really, I'm not going to do a fundraising pitch just now, much as I'd love to, in a way, but I'm not going to restrain myself. But isn't it amazing that all we need is the money? Like, we've got this amazing vision, and we've got this amazing team. We've got all the things that money can't buy, and we just need some money and a building. And that feels like the easy bit, but it's definitely the right way round, isn't it? It's definitely the right way round. So you will be hearing from me at your centres and so on occasions over the next few years. Is it all right to say the provisional date? So we're thinking that we like to be in the new Tiruvannalokar, wherever it is, to summer 2024. Ratna Jarni, the expert, said, have the launch in the summer so that when the boiler breaks down or whatever, people can actually camp, you know. I thought that's good. I've gone forth, as it were, into this homeless life. What I'd really like to do is keep living in this homeless way until then, and then from my new home to be at the new Tiruvannalokar. So I just thought I'll just introduce myself a little bit.
Yay.
So brilliant. It's great, isn't it? You know, that a new initiative attracts different energy, and look what we've attracted. Wonderful to have Subhadramati on board with us. So we are transitioning as a team. I suppose we're moving it from a model where Tiruvannalokar was a good bit smaller, and there was a period where we ran a lot fewer retreats back in the 90s. And at that time, the ordination team did all of the practical work. It was kind of sort of set up like that. And we sold, you know, the house that we used to have in Penkethly where the support team lived and things like that. So we haven't had a support team for a couple of decades now. But as you're probably aware, that model has passed its sell-by date. But it's not been easy for us to get the support team we need because of room limitations. We are sort of managing more or less. We've got Dharma Shree joining us to be our office manager very, very soon. And Kath Dixon from Bristol, who's just going to be ordained on the 3-month retreat, is going to come and be property and food manager. So we'll have a little bit like the early team. They had half a support team. We have two people. That's a good bit better. But it's still too few. We still need a much bigger team. We need a proper full support team, 5-6 people full time. We could even have mitras on that team. We could have newer order members. You wouldn't have to be the sort of person who could run groups and, you know, give talks and this, that and the other. So we'd be recruiting from a much bigger pool of people. So when we set up the new place, we will need those people in place pretty soon, actually. So we'd like to ask you to just keep your eye out for people who might fulfil those criteria, new order members or promising mitras, and just keep us in the loop and get them to talk to us or get in contact with us. We will need them. The other change that's been happening, and you probably know this because a lot of you are involved with this, is that on every retreat that we run currently, we have at least one person who's not on the Te Ratnaloka team, for obvious reasons. So we have, and most of the people who help us on our retreats are experienced preceptors, experienced study leaders, you guys, basically. So we will be continuing with that. We're not really going to be in a position, I don't think, in a bigger place to support the number of study leaders that we would need for every single, to be on every single retreat. We're going to need to carry on working with private preceptors in this way. And it's hugely beneficial. It's hugely beneficial for us. It's hugely beneficial for the Mitras. I hope it's beneficial for you guys. Thank you, Tara Vandana, for nodding, yes. Yeah, it really is ever so helpful. As much as anything, I think because it kind of underlines the fact that this is a collective project. It's not our project. It's our project. You know, we do all need to work together on it. And, yeah, we really, really value what those of you who come and help us on retreats give. And, yeah, so that will continue into the future. So, yeah, when I write to you and ask you to, if you'd be willing to come and, do a retreat at some point in 2024 or whatever, please say yes. Continue to say yes. It's a very important part. It's a participative, collective thing. And as Subhadramati and Kalyachitta said, when we get a bigger place, we would love to see more order members just coming on retreat. The guys do that, I think, at Padmaloka, don't they? The older members just go on retreat at Padmaloka quite happily. They don't have to worry about taking a place away from a GFR Mitra. Well, we want to be in the same place. So, come with your ordinands and or just come for yourself or whatever. You're very, very welcome. All of our retreats are open to order members and Mitras have asked for ordination. But I think these days order members are a bit reluctant to come because they don't want to take up a place that a Mitra could have. We really don't want that to be the case anymore. Mitras benefit enormously from being in a group with an order member. It just gets a different perspective on what the order is and the diversity of the order and that. So please do come when I ask you to come, and please continue to come as much as you can into the future, into the new place. Please see it as your spiritual home as well. Yeah, so that was me just wanting to talk a bit about the team, the core team and the bigger team in the future. But I want to pass on to Vajratara, who's going to tell us another way that you can help us.
Yeah, so just to echo what Shantavadri was saying, that this is our project and we really want you to be involved with Te Ratnaloka Unlimited. And actually looking round the room, and also I've been online every afternoon, so I can picture you online people in your little Zoom boxes. I can see how many of you have been involved and are continuing to be involved in Te Ratnaloka in so many ways. Both in the past and currently. And, one of the big questions is... Actually, I find this the fun question. I'm like super dramatic like this. I find the quite fun question is, how are we going to raise £1.5 million? Because that's what we're looking at. And I like a challenge. I think there's a sort of market trader in me that sometimes comes out. Anyway, so we need to raise £1.5 million. And... So the way that we're going to do that, first of all, the way these things work, we're having a lot of help from Future Dharma Fund. So we're in partnership with Future Dharma Fund in our fundraising. And they are going to help us with donor care and a kind of channel for giving. So that's all being developed in the background. And they've also given us a lot of advice and a lot of time from their directors. One of the main things about a project of this size is that you do the major donor fundraising first. So we've got to raise probably about a third of that, so £500,000, before We open it, sort of launch it on the convention as a bigger project and ask for centres helps and, you know, Mitras study groups and all that kind of fundraising. But at this stage, what we're doing is we're doing major donor fundraising. So major donor fundraising is anything really over £5,000. And that's where you can come in as well, because we may well contact you and ask you if you would like to give some money to the project. So if you don't want to be contacted, do approach particularly Subhadramati or I, and that's fine. You might also have an idea of who we might contact, who's got a connection with T. Ratnaloka, who might want to give. So do put us their way. Or you might want to approach us yourself with a major donation. That would be fantastic. And we'd really be happy to talk to you about it. Partly because, this is a part of being part of the project, if you see what I mean. You know, even my mum's there waiting gallantly in the background. We've had a little chat. Unfortunately, she said, yes, well, what I've done is that I've given your birthday present to T. Ratnaloka. That wasn't quite what I planned. But anyway, you know, it's a way of being part of the project and you giving to that. I remember Jnanavacha's got this great story about someone in India who came up to him, and Jnanavacha was... being ordained, he was fundraising for Jarasana, and this Indian order member said, you know, what are you doing? And Jnanavacha told him about this new retreat centre that he was fundraising for. And the Indian order member said, well, I'd really like to give to that project. And he said, because then I'll always be part of it. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter how much he gave, but he was always part of it. And that's what we need from you. I think in a way we've got a few conditions that need to come together. We've got the team. We've got to find a new property. We've got to sell T. Ratnaloka. And we've got to fundraise £1.5 million. I'm really confident about the £1.5 million. I think that the struggle is going to be finding a new property. You know, so if anyone's bored and wants to flick through an estate agent, on because we do now have the internet, then yeah. But yeah, so I think you know, this is going to be part of it as well, and we will be in contact with you about that. But yeah, if you want to approach us, that'd be great. And actually, I wanted to introduce you, it's a little drum roll, to our first major donor fundraise. No, that's me, isn't it? In Subhadramati. No, our major donor. Yeah, just the major donor, the first person who's given us a major donation. And we've invited her to say a little bit about why and how she did that. So that's Javala Malini, who's also our trustee. Javala Malini just gives, well, she's chair of our trustees. She just gives and she just gives and she just gives to T. Ratnaloka. So.
Thank you. So, why did I decide to give? It's just very natural. I love giving to the Dharma, actually. It's just like, why wouldn't you? It just really connects me with what I care about most, and I do feel part of any project, and it just gives a lot of joy to feel that I've kind of supported people's Dharma practice in whatever way. So, but yeah, this particular project, because women's ordination I care about so much, it's mostly what I'm involved with lately. How I practice, so of course. And just because I love a big project, there's a market trader in me too, and I just love an ambitious, like, yeah, let's get loads of money, like, why not? You know, like, yeah, that's fine, let's just do it. So yeah, I just really respond to the vision and confidence in the team, and wanted to be part of that. But it has been a bit of a journey. Like, as a trustee, I heard this mooted maybe 3 or 4 years ago, and I was a bit like, no, like, the team's so stretched already, how can they possibly do anything more? That's just not feasible, really. And I wasn't even that convinced it was needed. People were saying, oh, you know, there's a real bottleneck and there's more women coming through. And I couldn't quite see that. It didn't really look like that to me. And I'm so attached to T. Ratnaloka as it is. I mean, I've just, like, got so many significant memories, those moments of sort of real deepening faith through my ordination process. I was ordained there. And, you know, we've got Dado Stupa there. Like, well, we can't move. We've planted ourselves on the land there. We buried the Vajra under it. We did all the rituals. It's there. We can't possibly do anything else. So I think all of that was, you know, in the mix. Like, no, I don't think that's a good idea. Then we had a pandemic, so we didn't need to talk about it for a couple of years. There's obviously other things to think about. And then when it's, you know, this vision has arisen again, it just feels so different. I just felt totally different about it. It's like the team feels really different. Their energy and enthusiasm has been totally kind of opened and lifted by having this possibility. Just something sort of unblocked in the whole feel of the place. Partly, I'm sure, that is having a new chair, having lovely Karuna D. Chandra Prabha was fantastic, but from being a chair myself, I know coming to the end of your chairship is not the time to launch a big project. And, you know, just like having new chair energy, as well as your fountain of positivity, as someone described recently. I thought, yeah, that's so right. Just always appreciating all the time has a great sort of magnetic effect. And then hearing of Subhadramati's involvement, that makes like all the difference. Like the existing team couldn't do this, but having somebody else, and particularly someone of your quality and calibre, Subhadramati, that sort of can-do energy again. And just having a trustees meeting there in December, for the first time I could feel the cramp. You know, I'd never thought of Te Ratanaloka as too small, but suddenly it really was. Like every extension we could envisage building, there wasn't the space for, or it would block the space and the light. Being in the shrine room, being in the dining room, there were, what, six of us there or something? And it was still like, well, you know, like, this feels the right size for six. Like, how would you have, 29 women here? Of course it needs to move. But then finally, I was involved. I went through Karuna D's sort of business plan, just looking at like what the numbers were, what the case for support was, what how we'd, you know, cover the money, and yeah, just getting involved with that, having the satisfaction of the odd spreadsheet always helps me. yeah, people who know me know this. And, you know, just seeing things like, OK, the number of women who are training for ordination is probably increasing by about 50 a year, and all of those really could do with being offered a retreat in that first year. And that's, you know, it's a big number. And just looking like how we'd repay loans by increasing the capacity, and like, oh, yeah, that stacks up quite easy. Oh, yeah, let's just raise $1.5 million and then borrow $1.5 million. And, oh, yeah, that's all fine. That, you know, it just looked much more doable than I expected. So, yeah, I was just very convinced on that level. And I know that any fundraising project needs major donors to start with. I know how that all works. I've done enough, you know, fundraising, training things to know about that. I moved house last year. I'd got some spare cash knocking around from that, you know, was sort of surplus to what I needed for the new house. So I was sort of thinking, oh, yeah, I expect I'll give a chunk of money at some point and, you know, I'll sort of think about that one day. And then I'm also, because I moved house, rewriting my will, which I do every time my life changes. And I got the draft back and I looked and it had got 25,000 to Saranar, Te Ratanaloka and Akashavana. And I thought, oh, I could just give that now, couldn't I? That's quite straightforward. I'll just delete that line from the will before I sign it and rewrite that again. And it was just, yeah, kind of quite clear and obvious what to do. So it was very straightforward. So, yeah, I care about the project. I'm inspired by the vision, the confidence, the team. Why wouldn't you? It's the right thing at the right time. It's needed.
So, yeah, just really wanted to thank Jawala Malini again. I mean, that's a really huge contribution. And I think it just helps expand our vision a bit about, well, it's helped me think, well, what could I give? And think a bit more, actually. And this idea, which I'd never really thought about, but, you know, that if Te Ratanaloka, Tri Ratna Sarana is in your will, you know, you could convert it and give it give it now. So that's a kind of ingenious way to make it possible now, because now is when we need that money. So I think we're going to finish off fairly soon. Yeah. Wow. So here we are. This is our new big collective project in the women's wing. And yes, yeah, so as we're saying, we're really hoping, imagining it will free up a lot of opportunities for women who want to be ordained and for women order members. In a way, we could see it as our gift to the future of the movement, the order, even of the world, actually. I was thinking of that talk that Bhante gave in 1999. He must have given it just before I was ordained, because I was ordained in September, and he gave a talk on the convention in 1999 called Looking Ahead a Little Way. And yeah, people are nodding. You remember that one. And I haven't got the script to the talk, but he says something like, I need not say how much the world needs such a movement, such an order as ours. I've done my part. I've started the order and the movement. He says, the future of the order and of the movement is in your hands. So, yes, just, an invitation, a request to participate in this project as much as you possibly can. We'd love to hear from you. You can speak to any of us here during this preceptors retreat, or get in contact. We can have a chat afterwards. Thank you very much for your attention. Okay, so now we'll have a cup of tea, 20 minutes, and we'll come back here at 10 past 10.